struggle between life and death is the most gripping struggle of all. If two men are fighting each other with guns or knives to the death, or even with their bare fists, our attention is riveted upon them. If you see a drama or a movie, even if you know that it is fiction, even if you know the outcome, your attention is fixed on a life and death struggle. Even if two animals are fighting each other to the death, your attention is fixed. The reason is that life is the most important good to us, and death is the greatest evil. In order to preserve this most important good, which is life, the soul and body musters its deepest strength and uses this strength vigorously and efficaciously. In the sequence of today's Mass, it says that there is a duel between life and death, and that Christ emerges from it victorious. In Holy Week, we witness the greatest of all of the life and death struggles, for this is not a struggle merely of life of the body or death of the body. For the life of the body, no matter how long we hold on to it, goes away. And the death of the body, no matter how horrible it is momentary, and no pain is felt thereafter. But it is the life and the death of the soul that is at stake in this Holy Week and in this victory of Christ over death. The single goal of the devil is to hate God and to efficaciously accomplish the ruination of God's work. He was made for good, but now can only think of evil. And this is his goal. There is a single place in which he can accomplish the ruination of God's work, and that is in the soul and the body of living human beings, since they are not as yet definitively determined to good or to evil, to heaven or hell. The devil, therefore, has a life, in a way, just like that of a virus or of a bacterium. It can only live if it finds a suitable host in which to flourish. Without this host, the bacterium or the virus dies. And so the devil, condemned as he is to eternal death, and to an eternal death which is far more bitter than we will ever know, if God forbid we should go to that horrible place. Condemned as he is to an eternal death, he seeks to find a life in those in whom he can convert to himself. God, on the other hand, who is the source and fullness of all life, seeks by love and not by hate to plant the seed of his divine life in the human soul. And this is sanctifying grace. This he did at creation, and this he does again at redemption, but efficaciously only in those who seek him. For our Lord's dying on the cross provided for us sufficiency, that is, it is there for everyone, every single man, woman, and child in the whole world who has ever lived, is living, or who will live, it is there. But it is there only sufficiently. It comes into our souls efficaciously if we should seek him under the inspiration of his grace and not resist his grace. And so God and the devil fight to the death in this Holy Week for the human soul. We see this life and death struggle in the liturgy of Holy Week. It is truly a shame that we do not have a more Catholic culture which would permit the people to come to the liturgical services of Holy Week. Because all of the story of Easter is told in that week. On Holy Thursday, our Lord gives to his apostles his body and blood, which is the source of divine life and of future resurrection. Immediately after this joyful scene, however, he goes to his agony in the garden. He founds the Blessed Sacrament and the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, the source of all supernatural good in this life, and then the altar is stripped immediately as our Lord departs for his agony. And during the night of Holy Thursday and Good Friday, our Lord enters into this agony. His contest, for agony means in Greek contest, fight, struggle. And it is with the devil, ultimately. We have no doubt of the outcome, but our Lord does this in order to show us what we must do in order to preserve our supernatural lives. On Good Friday, the devil has his victory, in a certain sense. He destroys the God-man, the author of life. We are in awe as we see the author of life hanging dead on the cross, helpless against his enemies. On Holy Saturday, in the morning, when there are long lessons read by the church, we see again this story of the duel of life and death. First, there is the lesson of the creation of the world. But before those lessons, the priest blesses the fire, which is a sign of our Lord's divinity, in the darkness of the early morning, which is a sign of death and error. And he lights the candle, and as the procession comes down the church, he proclaims light of Christ, and we, in the darkness of error and of sin, bow down and worship the one true God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the source of light and of life. He says, light of Christ, and we bend the knee, and we say, come, let us adore. Then he comes up to the altar, and he sings one of the most magnificent pieces of music that was ever written, the Exultet, blessing this candle, which is again shining its light in the midst of darkness and death, the candle which represents the humanity, and the flame which represents the divinity of Christ. And he says in this Exultet, this is the night which now delivers all over the world those that believe in Christ from the vices of the world and the darkness of sin, restores them to grace, and clothes them with sanctity. This is the night in which Christ broke the chains of death and ascended conqueror from hell, for it availed us nothing to be born unless it had availed to be redeemed. The church moves on to the 12 prophecies and first speaks about the creation of man, which is a story of life, of natural life and of supernatural life. Then it moves on to a story of death and sin, which is the flood, in which every single human being and animal was killed, by the power of God, having been paid the wages of sin, which is death, by the almighty power of God, except for those who escaped in Noah's ark. Then there is the sacrifice of Isaac by Abraham, a story of death right up to the end, a story of the death that we deserve for our sins, until finally the angel of God stops his hand, which was about to inflict death, and spares Isaac something that will not be done for his only begotten son. Then there is the drowning of the Egyptians in the Red Sea. Again, a duel of death and life. Death for the Egyptians because they are against God. They represent darkness, error, and sin. And life for the Hebrews because they are with God. And then there is Baruch's contrasting of the love of wisdom, which is life, and the worldliness of the Jews at his time, the love of riches, which represents hell and death. Then there is the vision of Ezekiel, where he sees dry bones of a battle that took place a long time before, dried bones of soldiers, and God tells him to speak life into those bones, and he sees all of these men rise up with muscle and skin, and he sees before him a great army, a story of a duel of life and of death. Then there is the paschal sacrifice by the death of the lamb and by the painting of his blood on the doorposts. The Hebrews are set free and they live. Another story of struggle of life and of death. Then there is the penance of the people of Nineveh, who were condemned to death by God for their sin, but because they did penance, they are given life. And then there is the writing of the words of the law by Moses, and its placement on the side of the Ark of the Covenant, which represents life. For by the law, by the obedience to the law, they will have life. But in this very same act of writing the law, he warns the Jews and foretells them that they will transgress the law and that this writing will be held against them because this writing of the law will be always with them, life and death. And then there is the story of the three young men in the fiery furnace. They profess their faith in God and have life because as they are thrown into the furnace, they are preserved even as they are engulfed in the flames, but yet those who condemn them are burned up in death. A struggle constantly of supernatural life and supernatural death. The Old Testament also has the story of Cain and Abel, Jacob and Esau, Saul and David, always a theme of the struggle of life and death, and all of these things, prefigurations of the single great struggle between life and death, which is in our Lord's holy passion. And so this life is a struggle between life and death. We celebrate today the victory of Christ over death, and it is a beautiful thing. We sing our alleluias very correctly. But is it our victory? Are we already victorious over death? And the answer to that is no. Because we have not yet died in the state of sanctifying grace. It is certainly Christ's victory, and it is our hope. But our victory will be when we take our final breath in the state of sanctifying grace. Mortal sin and the culture produced by the love of mortal sin inclines us not to a struggle between life and death in this life, but to a pleasant life, a life of material and bodily joy. It wants us to neglect the struggle between life and death and make for us our paradise here. And this is the world in which we live. But grace inclines us to fight the battle against death. Easter is Christ's victory, but not ours. Not yet. And we shall be victorious only if Christ lives in us and continues to live in us until the moment of death by the state of sanctifying grace. And so Easter, for us, is a call to battle. The battle against sin and the effects of sin in us. As the priest blesses the water for baptism on Holy Saturday, he says, "May all unclean spirits by thy command, O Lord, depart from hence. May the whole malice of diabolical deceit be entirely banished. May no power of the enemy prevail here. May he not fly about to lay his snares. May he not creep in by secret artifice. May he not corrupt with infection." And St. Paul says, concerning the victory of Christ over death, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? Thanks be to God, who hath given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.